Assalamu alaikum, and that means peace be unto you. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the National Center of the Nation of Islam, Mas Maryam. And your brother has a little hoarse voice this morning, so excuse the raspiness of my voice. I've been teaching a lot this week, yelling a lot at my students, so we're going to get through this with the help and grace of Allah. But each week, we have people tuned in to this broadcast from all over the world, and we thank each of you for taking the time and giving us your attention. We may not always have the time to respond to every comment across the various social media platforms, but we want you to know that each week that you tune in, your brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam are excited that you have decided to be with us. It is our honor to share with you the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught and demonstrated by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In the Holy Quran, chapter 103, entitled The Time, it reads, "In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, by the time, surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good, and exhort one another to truth, and exhort one another to patience." We believe that we are living in this time of loss, the loss of jobs, the loss of property, and most of us have been experiencing the loss of life all around us. These conditions of loss were prophesied to come. And since the enemy of God knows the prophecies just as well, and sometimes better than some of the righteous, Satan was prepared for this time. So to prevent the people from rising up, and to prevent the people from awakening out of their condition of sleep and death, Satan has developed various ways and schemes to rock us back to sleep. So he has us getting high, he has us popping pills, he has us partying and having hot girl summers, all in the name of quote-unquote fun. But in reality, Satan is using this as a tool to pacify us from recognizing the reality all around us. Some of us as brothers know more about sports stats, shooting percentages, touchdowns, draft picks. We know more about that stuff than the economy, than the state of affairs of this nation, and of course about global politics. We know more about the various names of fighters and their weight classes than we do about the scriptures and the prophets. So in the current edition of the Final Call newspaper, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "You notice that our black people, especially here in America, have become sold to nothing in the world but sport and play. This is the way the people were of Lot and Noah. They were sold to sport and play, and they hated the teachings of those righteous prophets. And the day of their doom came, unexpected to them because they did not heed their warning. So it is here today, 24 hours a day, they are trying to have sport and play and talk over foolish things, spending their time in foolishness. I fear of an evil day overtaking my people here in America soon." This day and this time that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has warned us about, brothers and sisters, is now here. So instead of us being in front of the issue and being properly prepared, many of us are now behind the ball and we need to catch up. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad went on to say, "True, the world is warning you now, and you act as though white people can help it. But they are telling you now that unemployment keeps mounting and they can do nothing about it. They are warning you that you are going to get hungry too, but you are not trying to take it with sincerity that they are telling you the truth. You are like a child who cries to its mother for bread and milk, whether there is any in the kitchen or not." Brothers and sisters, how long will we continue to beg others for what we need? How long will we focus on sport and play and not become serious about our issues and the future of ourselves and our babies? This is the time, brothers and sisters, we have some serious decisions to make. But first, we are in need of divine guidance. And divine guidance has been given to us by the man of God and the servant of God in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And today, to acquaint us with that divine guidance and to give us the direction that we should be heading in, we look forward to hearing from our brother, Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad, in just a moment. But before I bring him up, please receive our next presenter, Brother Student Minister Abel Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
En el nombre de Allah, el benéfico, el misericordioso. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. We greet you, brothers and sisters, in the greeting words of peace, which we say in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. As we just heard Student Minister Daniel reference, we're living in a time of trouble. And as the trouble continues, it seems that events are not only increasing and escalating, but accelerating. Within the last 2 weeks, a powerful 7.0 earthquake struck southwest Mexico. And that was followed this week by a 4.3 magnitude earthquake in California. And there were storms and severe weather within the United States borders, with CNN reporting 1,100 lightning strikes occurring in just one night, igniting new fires in California. And scientists are now saying that the summer of 2021 was the hottest on record, tying the record set by the Dust Bowl summer of 1936. And adding to this anxiety, frustration, and trouble, according to a CNN report, the U.S. president is imposing stringent new vaccine rules on federal workers, large employers, and healthcare staff in a sweeping attempt to contain the latest surge of COVID-19. According to the CNN report, the new requirements could apply to as many as 100 million Americans, or almost two-thirds of the American workforce. People are uncertain on what to do. They're afraid they may lose their jobs, their homes, and they're dissatisfied increasingly with the manner that those in leadership are handling their authority, because there does not appear to be a genuine concern for the well-being of people, but instead a focus on profit. Over the last few weeks, Student Minister Ismail Muhammad has raised this beautiful verse found in the second chapter of the Holy Quran, wherein it reads in part, "And we shall certainly try you with something of fear and hunger and loss of property and lives and fruits." And many of us may be facing those very things that we are afraid of. He's also raised for us in the last few weeks this quote and the wonderful example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, saying that it's not that you won't be made afraid, because there are some terrifying things in this world. But when you are afraid, that's the test of faith. Now you have to call on what you have faith in. The question is, brothers and sisters, where is our faith? Who do we put our faith in? We know we are going to be tried. So the book of James in the first chapter of the book of James in the Bible, it says, "Count it all joy when troubles of any kind come your way. For you know that when your faith is tested, your patience has a chance to grow." The Holy Quran says, "And give good news to the patient, who when a misfortune befalls them say, surely we are Allah's, and to him we shall return." This morning, we have good news. In spite of circumstances, in spite of how bleak or dim and dark the outlook may appear, we walk by faith and not by sight. We put our trust in faith in that which has been tried, tested, and proven to be true, the guidance of Allah through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This morning, it is with great joy that we present to you this morning to give us that word of light, life, and power from the life-giving, life-saving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as represented by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Please receive the National Assistant Minister to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Ismail Muhammad.
Thank you. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that nothing and no one deserves to be worshipped beside Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the giver of life, the revealer of all truth, the sender of the prophets. We thank Allah for his many blessings, his goodness, his gifts, and his mercy. I thank him for his intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Fard Muhammad, for raising from black people in America the promised Messiah of the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews. That man that Almighty God Allah raised to be his messenger, Messiah, in fulfillment of the scriptures and prophecies is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I thank Allah and could never thank him enough for his intervention, for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and for the man who is in our midst today, who was sat in the seat of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to be a divine reminder, to be a divine warner, and a divine guide to all who would lend their ears to what God puts in his mouth for all of us. I thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and it is in their names that we greet all of you once again with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. We thank you for joining us today as we continue with the help of Allah our subject from 2 weeks ago on fear, faith, and truth. The Holy Quran tells the believer that we will be tried. And in that second chapter of the Quran, Allah tells us that we shall certainly try you with something of fear and hunger, loss of property and lives and fruits. And then the Quran says, give good news to the patient, who, when a misfortune befalls them, they say, surely we are Allah's, and to him we shall return. These are those on whom are blessings and mercy from their Lord, and those are the followers of the right course. And in the 29th chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah says to us, do men think they will be left alone on saying, we believe and will not be tried? And indeed, we tried those before them. So Allah will certainly know those who are true, and he will know the liars. How could, brothers and sisters, believers in God, could you and I think that if those before us who believed in the prophets of God, who paid a heavy price to establish the truth and the faith they received through that prophet of God, that we today who say we believe will not be tried similarly. We have two great religions today in Christianity and Islam. We can go as worshipers freely to our mosques and churches to pray and to practice our belief. But it wasn't like that when these faiths first started. The early believers of both religions were persecuted and prosecuted, imprisoned, tortured, and killed for their faith. They faced vehement opposition from the enemy, but we would not have the faith today if it were not for those believing, sacrificing men and women. The followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the guidance and direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, have a similar price to pay. How much more of a price has to be paid for the establishment of the kingdom of heaven, an eternal kingdom, a world where there will be no more injustice, no more pain, no more misery, no more grief and sorrow. Days of joy, days of peace, days of happiness, days of true freedom, justice, and equality. A world free from wickedness and evil, and a world free of Satan. In the book of Revelations, the 21st chapter of that book, John the Revelator wrote these words, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." A new heaven and a new earth. And the first earth and the first heaven were passed away. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that this heaven and earth represents a new spiritual order and a new political order that will replace the spiritual and political order of this day. And in verse 1 and 2, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." In other words, it's gonna happen, John. In other words, be faithful, because I'm faithful to the world and the kingdom that I am going to bring in. And in verses 8 through 10, in that same chapter 21, it reads, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers and sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, all shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Beloved brothers and sisters, the messenger of Allah believes in what has been revealed to him, and so do the believers. The revelation of God through his servant is truth. At first, what Allah reveals to his servant is not accepted or understood by everybody. At first, the revelation of God is opposed and rejected, but in the end, its veracity is proven and it is established. Isn't it something how you can believe in something in the past and deny what is in the present? Isn't it something how we can claim to believe in God and in the prophets and scriptures, and what God did yesterday, hundreds of years before us, and then deny what is in our face that we read in the Bible and in the Holy Quran? We read of God's wrath, God's punishment, God's intervention in the affairs of the people 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,400 years ago, and all in between, and deny that what we are looking at and faced with today is not from God. That the man that is among us, who says he is a messenger from God, like the prophets and messengers from Noah to Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, they all represented themselves and the sender to be God himself. But the people rejected those prophets and those messengers and paid a heavy, heavy price. But when you read it in the Bible, and we have all of these examples out of the lives of the prophets and how they challenged the oppressor, how Moses challenged Pharaoh, how Daniel challenged Nebuchadnezzar. They challenged the flames. And all of these stories are so beautiful when you read it in the Bible, and so encouraging for us today, with the tyrant and the oppressor that we have faced. But when you read it in the Bible, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, quote, "If it does not give you courage in your time period, then you're reading it yesterday, and you might think that it can't happen today. But God is able in every generation. And he will never let you down. He will never let you down if you put your trust in him. I'm going to try you with something of fear, hunger, loss of property, loss of life, diminution of fruit, but give good news to those who are patient and steadfast under trial, for surely Allah loves those who are patient and steadfast under trial." We said 2 weeks ago from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our test and our trial is in comfort. So the first thing that God uses to try those who say they believe in him is fear. And what is he trying? Your faith. My faith. I'm going to try you with faith, because if I can make you afraid and insecure where you lose your trust in God, then I can make you bow to what it is that you are afraid of. I'm going to try your faith. If I can make you afraid and insecure where you lose your trust in God. Think about that. Right now, the government of the United States of America under President Biden is mandating this experimental drug that they call a vaccine. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in his July 4th message last year that if they force this vaccine on us, if you bring the vaccine and say you're going to bring your army to force us to take it, once you try to force us, that's a declaration of war on all of us. And then he said, brothers and sisters, you only have this one life. Fight like hell to keep it. And fight like hell to destroy those whose heart and mind is to destroy you and take your life from you. The mandates are a declaration of war on all the American people. The American people have rights. The American people have the freedom of choice. What is choice? Choice is an act of selecting or making a decision. When faced with two or more possibilities, choice suggests the opportunity or privilege of choosing freely, that you have multiple options, or is one of the options you can choose from, but in choice, you're presented with options, possibilities. So if we are not presented with options, alternative therapies and treatments to treat COVID-19, then you're not giving the American people the freedom of choice. You're dictating now. You're forcing an experimental vaccine on the American people, and in so doing, you're becoming a tyrant. You act as though your vaccine is the only thing that the people can take. Then you say that it has been proven effective, yet it has never gone through the protocols and trials of a vaccine to be approved and given as safe and effective. This experimental vaccine has been authorized for emergency use. This is one of the things that's disturbing and should cause alarm and pause. You have hundreds of doctors, scientists, biologists, epidemiologists, virologists, and chemists who are opposed to the experimental vaccine, and you have those who are pro-vaccine, but the American people are not afforded the right to hear and listen to both sides of the argument and both sides presenting its evidence for or against, so that the American people can make an informed decision. And the failure to do that is a great travesty and injustice that is being done by our government. And what it's going to cause when the Constitution guarantees the American people certain rights and the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, when you start taking that away and you start tearing down the fundamental pillars of this nation, then you're setting the stage for anarchy and revolution. You have over 25% of other countries that are using different treatments and therapies on its people with a great measure of success, but the American people don't know nothing about that. One of the treatments is ivermectin, and it has recently been in the news, and the false narrative, the deliberate misinformation campaign by mainstream media calling it an animal dewormer, and it's for parasites, and you should never use that which is for animals on humans. But aren't there drugs like antibiotics that are used on both animals and humans? Yet the FDA, yet it's an FDA-approved drug, ivermectin, and it's cheaper than anything that is currently on the market. Bangladesh, a country of 160 million people, which is half of the American population, has only 10,000 deaths, yet it has given this ivermectin as a treatment to its citizens. So you see the death rate so low, 99% less, yet in America, great America, now nearly 600,000 deaths and forcing on the American people vaccine. And if you don't take it, then we will fire you. We will dismiss you from your places of employment. You won't go to school. You won't fly our planes. You can't go to the restaurants. What are you doing, America? Companies sending employees home without pay. Some like United Airlines employees that mandated that their employees, if they don't take the vaccine, they can't come to work. And they don't fire you, so you can't draw unemployment. This is oppression. This is unjust and downright wicked. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, whatever you fear gives you a sense of insecurity, so you don't feel secure. The very fact that you feel insecure is beginning to tamper with your being a Muslim, because a Muslim is one who has been made secure. And having been made secure enters into peace. No matter what the circumstance is. Did you hear that? For Muslims, a Muslim is one who has been made secure. And having been made secure, enters into peace, no matter what the circumstance is. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from that monumental message, Fear, Faith, and Truth, said to us that fear causes us not to act properly. Fear makes you so insecure that you have a tendency to acquiesce, to submit, to surrender to the thing that you're afraid of. And if you acquiesce, submit, and surrender to what you are afraid of, then it becomes a god to you beside God. Beloved listeners, brothers, and sisters, if somebody can make you afraid, if somebody can terrorize you, they got you. The moment they can make you tremble, make you afraid, and there are things that can make you afraid, there are things that can make you tremble. But the question is, the minister's raised. Not if you tremble. The question is, what do you do after something makes you tremble? Now, if you just lay down, in the street language, then somebody just punked you. Then you can't say, I'm a believer in God. You can't say, I'm a Muslim. And I'm afraid, and I wouldn't challenge my own fear. It is not that you won't be made afraid, because there are some terrifying things in this world. But when you are afraid, the minister said, that's the test of faith. Now you and I have to call on what you have faith in. So, beloved brothers and sisters, we have this fear of losing our job, and they're threatening us. And you may not like your job, but God knows you need it. So the devil threatens us with poverty. He threatens us with taking our job that gives us comfort and security. So we're being tested today. We'll be tried with something of fear, and after fear, hunger. We will go home, and God willing, we'll have a meal on our tables, a roof over our heads, food in our refrigerators, and a place to sleep. But when you're hungry, hunger will get you. Being hungry is a real test. But the question is, who feeds the creatures of the earth? Who's the sustainer and supplier of needs? And why did Jesus, brothers and sisters, tell his disciples, don't worry about your food? Listen to Jesus' words. He says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Think about that. These creatures of God, the bee, the bird, the ant, they're faithful creatures in God. And they work their faith. They don't sit and pray. They go out and they work their faith. And their faith is rewarded with food that they find to bring back to their young, to their offspring. So if you and I as the human being is far more valuable than the bird and the ant and the bee, then why should we worry of how we will eat, how we will be clothed, and what shelter we will have over our heads? Can all your worries, Jesus said, add a single moment to your life? See, belief in God removes the believer of anxiety, uncertainty. The believer in God walks not by sight, but by faith. The believer in God walks this earth with firmness, with security, not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about your life, only concerned with pleasing God and doing His will, and the rest will take care of itself. Jesus said, "Why worry about your clothing? Did you ever look at the lilies of the field and how they grow? They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? I'm going to lose my job. How am I going to feed my family? What will we drink? What will we wear?" Jesus said these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Wow. The book of Matthew, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." David the psalmist said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Oh, that's confidence. That is the utterance of a faithful believer and servant in God in the face of fear, in the face of threat from the enemy of God. And God always delivers His servants as long as the servant remains steadfast under trial. Now, some of us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, have faith in our own strength. Strength here can mean the strength of what you think you know. And what you think you know and what you think you understand is limited. That's why to the unlearned and the learned, to those who have knowledge and those who don't have knowledge, God gives you and me a guide. He's the best knower of what you think and what I think I know. So he introduces himself in the Quran. I, Allah, am the best knower. He's not dismissing what the human being may have acquired and attained of knowledge, but he has a comprehensive knowledge of all things. So when you come to the best knower, you come in a position of surrender. I have to submit to him who is the author of all of this. And what I have learned from his creation, what I have learned of the things of life is so limited. But Allah God is the seer. He's the knower of all things and possessor of power over all things. Some of us might have faith in our own strength. I go to the gym every day. I work out. I built my muscles, the minister said. So don't make me afraid. I'll rely on my strength. But when somebody has a gun placed at your head, then all your work in the gym might not help too much. So when you face the gun, fear jumps up in your heart because you know that gun has the power to take your life. So you're faced now with a decision. Do I surrender or do I challenge the thing that has made me afraid? Most of us, when we're tried by fear, we succumb. And no man, the minister said, can ever be what God intended him or her to be if you allow anything but God to make you afraid. It doesn't mean that you act silly, but it means that you remove that fear. If it is my time to go, so be it. But let not the last breath be the breath of a coward. Let not the last breath be the breath of one who left life fearful and afraid. Let me go out as one of courage and one of faith that perhaps my name shall be remembered. I hope y'all are all right. Anytime we allow anything to make us afraid and we refuse to challenge our fear, the minister said, of that thing, then we can never be the man or the woman that God intended us to be, because fear will not allow you to be yourself. In the Holy Quran, it tells us how the Muslims faced overwhelming odds, how the Muslims on the battlefield faced the enemy, and the enemy had greater numbers. But God did not use great numbers to match the numbers of the enemy. God used great faith to send to flight the enemy who had greater numbers. Allah says in the Quran, if you are 20 steadfast, 20 that are patient, 20 that persevere, you will send to flight 200. And if there are 100 steadfast, you will send to flight 1,000. Success does not depend on numbers. Success and victory is secured by the quality of one's faith in God. Gideon in the Bible, he took 300 to defeat an army of 135,000. Look at those odds. You say, oh, that's fiction, that's legend. It's there in the book. This is not from the movie 300 and the Spartans. 300. Gideon went out to send his messengers to gather together men from all the tribes in order to meet an armed force of 135,000 of the people of Midian and Amalek. And God, brothers and sisters, informed Gideon that the men he had gathered were too many. He had gathered about 35,000. But God said they were too many men. Look at this. There would be reason for the Israelites to claim the victory as their own instead of acknowledging that God had saved them. Wow. Meaning, though there are those of us that when we secure success, when we secure victory, we celebrate ourselves. We don't celebrate God. We don't give to God the honor and the praise that he's rightly, justly owed and due. So God didn't want vanity. He wanted sincere men that would give to God all the honor, the praise, and the glory. So God instructed Gideon to send home those who were afraid. That's the first group that had to go. Because there ain't no way you're going to defeat the enemy and overwhelming odds if you are afraid. So Gideon invited any man who wanted to leave, go. So out of the nearly 35,000, 22,000 men returned home, and he was left with 10,000. Yet with that number, God told Gideon there were still too many, and instructed him to bring them to a river. Too many or too much of what? All those, God told Gideon, who lap the water with their tongues, as a dog laps, you shall put to one side, and those who kneel down to drink, putting their hands to their mouths, you shall put to the other side. The number of those that lapped up the water raised to their mouths by hand was 300. But all the rest were sent home. Then the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go to their homes. So only 300 of the men stayed alert Think about this. The Lord promised that these few men would conquer the 135,000 Midianite soldiers. So during the night, the Lord told Gideon, now is the time to attack the Midianites. Gideon gave his men horns and large jars with torches hidden inside. And he told them, watch me. Look at the commandment. Watch me and do exactly what I do. Letting you know that when you're in the face of an enemy, your leader has to be obeyed. Exactly. Failure to follow the orders and the instructions of the messenger of God can result in harm, injury, or death. Watch me, Gideon said, and do exactly what I do. So Gideon blew his horn, smashed his jar, waved his torch, and shouted, the sword of the Lord. All of his 300 men did the same. Huh? They followed the order. So the Midianites were terrified and ran wildly in all directions, and in the chaos, they began to attack one another. And the 300 faithful, obedient soldiers to Gideon were given the victory. See, there's no losing with God. There's no losing in God. Our loss is in our lack of faith. So when God says, I'm going to try you with something of fear and hunger, loss of life. Now, in all of our lives, we fear the loss of life, starting with our own. We fear the loss of someone that we love, someone close. You don't want to lose your loved one. So people, the minister said, can get somebody you love and threaten you by what you love. And God always tries you by the things and the persons that you love. He's always going to try you where you think you are most comfortable. And he devises a trial that's calculated to disturb us where we are most comfortable to test our faith in him. So the minister said, and if you love anything more than God, then you are not worthy of God. Every one of us have suffered some kind of loss in our life. So many have suffered the loss of a loved one in this pandemic. No one wants to lose someone you love. But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. We've lost many loved ones. And when I was talking to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan a few days ago, he said, oh, son, you have done an awful lot of funerals. There was a stretch where I was doing a funeral just a couple of weeks ago, every week, and in some of those weeks, two funerals a week, comforting families here in Chicago, across the country. The pain of loss, the heavy burden of sorrow, but with the help of Allah, lifting that burden of sorrow from the hearts of those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones, by giving them the only source of comfort, who is God. So the Quran says, when a misfortune befalls the believer says, we are from Allah. To Him is our eventual return. The minister said, all of these that have been lost in this pandemic, all of these that have been lost to COVID-19 are martyrs. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that when someone dies in a plague, they are martyrs for God. My beloved brothers and sisters, one of the things that God always does when He chooses a person, chooses a people, He says to them, I am with you. Listen to the words, I, the Lord God, am with you. But we have to trust in Him. And then he says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. I am with you. Take courage. Don't worry about how mighty they look. I am with you. No prophet of God escaped trials. Didn't they boil Abraham in oil? Was God with Abraham? Did he deliver him? Who was in the lion's den with Daniel? Talk to me. God was there. Who was in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Huh? Who fed Elijah? When Elijah was running in the wilderness, who was with the widow and the son when she thought all she had was enough to make a little food for her and her son to die? But a man named Elijah said, give it to me, and your jar will never run dry. She had to put her faith in a man. And in so doing, her faith was put to an exchange. Her faith was rewarded because she believed in Elijah. Brothers and sisters, Almighty God, Allah has given to us Elijah. And if we put our trust in him and his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then we will get through the dark hour. But it requires faith in the man that God has raised from among us and has established, confirmed, anointed, validated as his man. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There, what about David? Y'all remember David? Was David afraid of Goliath? Everyone else was afraid. He was the undefeated warrior. But David came out, look, I'll take him on. Man. Now that's courage. But where did his courage come from? His courage came from his faith in God. And he faces Goliath, who was well armed, and David only had a slingshot and a pouch with five smooth stones. And he took one of those stones out and struck Goliath right in his head. And big old bad, strong, undefeated Goliath came tumbling down. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, those five smooth stones represent the pillars of faith. And it only took one of those pillars to defeat Goliath, the most important of the pillars, belief in God. There is no believer that has not been tried who placed their trust in Allah, and he saw the believer through with little things. And then God, he gives you and I a bigger trial and a bigger trial, and even misfortune in our lives, even with the loss of property and the loss of fruit and the loss of life. Yet the believer goes to God and he brings the believer through. My beloved brothers and sisters, what is Allah saying in that? Put your trust in me and I will see you through. Sometimes we can turn away from God. Sometimes we turn to other things and other persons who are unworthy of our trust. Some of us think that when a misfortune comes into our lives and we believe in God and we have strived to live according to his will, his law, his statutes, his commands, and when these misfortunes come in our lives, we say, why me? Why should I have cancer? Why should I lose my wife, my husband, my son? We had a brother, beautiful brother, who works on the E-team and at the minister's farm. Just a few weeks ago, he lost his mother and his brother to COVID in the hospital. And we funeralized his mother and his brother less than 3 weeks later. His only son, 23 years of age, died in a horrible car accident. Mother, brother, son. But his faith in God comforted him, because like the trial of Abraham, when God tested Abraham and told him to sacrifice his son, the test was for Abraham, do you love your son whom I have given you? See, that's the key. Over me? Wow. So our mother, our father, our child, our son, our daughter, who is the giver of mama, daddy, son, daughter, wife, husband? Is it not Allah? And because of our brother's faith, God has comforted him in the great loss of a mother, a brother, and a son. Beloved brothers and sisters, in closing this, what a friend we have in God. And what better friend could we have in these troubled times? More or other than God himself. beloved brothers and sisters, when we turn away because of a misfortune or because of an untimely death or someone that we love, or any loss of property or diminution of fruit, if we turn away, then we lose the love of our protector. For he says, I'm going to try you, but give good news to those who are patient and steadfast under trial. Steadfast in what? In seeking him as your place of refuge. Beloved brothers and sisters, seeking refuge, and of course, finding it. Jesus said it best, seek and you shall find. So every true believer in God, the minister said, quote, will seek him as their place of refuge, and then seeking, they shall find that in him is the best refuge. One cannot seek refuge if one does not have faith. One cannot endure under misfortunes, under trials, under adversity, under opposition without faith. The race is not to the swift, nor to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. In order to endure any trial, one must have faith in God. So, beloved brothers and sisters, one cannot seek refuge if one does not have faith. Then in seeking and finding that refuge, that place of refuge is sufficient. My blessed and beautiful mother, before my father departed, right here at Mercy Hospital, she asked him, should you pass away, or I can't remember the exact words, but the sentiment was, if you should leave, what will I do? This is a husband of a wife, a father of children, but the messenger of God. Look at his words. He didn't say, look, I have some money over here. Get me the checkbook. I have life insurance. I have you and your children, don't worry, written in the will. He didn't leave none of that. He left us the will of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Because without that, I know of a certainty I would not be where I am today. My mother's faith in God proved to me and her children that God is real. All he said to my mother was, seek refuge in Allah. Now that may not have been comforting to a young mother with young children, but her faith was now going to be tested in the absence of one who represented God. And now she would have to discover for herself, is Allah sufficient? And I can stand before you and say, Allah was absolutely sufficient. We were very poor. Oh, yeah. And I can remember a time we were driving, my mother and I, from Chicago to California to Oakland. And to this day, when I remember this story, I asked myself the other day, I should have asked my mom, why didn't she take or get enough money for the journey because we were about to run out of gas a couple of hundred miles away from Oakland. And there we were on the highway. The sun was about to set. She pulled into a gas station and she said, son, I don't know what we're gonna do because we didn't have enough money to put gas in the car to get to our destination where my brothers, Rasul and Ahmed and Medea were in Oakland. So we went to a payphone and we called the family where my brothers and sisters were, but we're in the middle of nowhere. And they're trying to figure out how and maybe have to drive to meet us. And while we were sitting there, a gentleman came, a Caucasian man. And he said, I see that maybe you're having some difficulty or trouble. Can I be of assistance? And my mother said what the issue was. He said, no problem, ma'am. I will fill up the tank of your car. I want you to look. If we had rejected the man because of the color of his skin, we would have been rejecting a blessing from God. You familiar with that story about a man that was in a flood? And they came to get the man and said, come on, the flood waters are rising. He said, I'll be all right. The Lord will save me. The flood waters rose. He sounded like Noah's son. I will betake to the mountain. He said, I'll go to the roof. The waters kept rising. So a boat came along, told the man, come on, man, let's go. I trust in the Lord. I will wait on the Lord to save me. A helicopter comes, sends down a rope or something. Come on, man, let's go. I will wait on the Lord. So the man dies in the flood. I don't know how he got to heaven, but the story says he got to heaven, and then he's upset with God. And ask God, why didn't you save me? And God said, did not someone come and tell you to come on? Did not I send you a boat and you rejected the boat? Did I not send a helicopter? So you're dead now because you refused the help that I gave you through others. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is a great lesson for us and a great lesson for America. You're drowning. The waters are rising, but you are rejecting a man who has truth, wisdom, and guidance that can save America from death and destruction. And you reject him because of the color of his skin. So a Caucasian man filled up our tank and we were on our way. Can I tell you something else about Mother Tynetta? My mother was fearless. My mother was absolutely courageous. The MGT of the Nation of Islam, boy, don't mess with these sisters. These are fearless women of God. And my mother, with all of her wonderful dignity, gracefulness, yet my mother would throw down. I'm telling you something about Mother Tynetta. One day, there was a person very close to us, and he was poisoned with lies that caused him to become so twisted that he wanted to harm my mother. I'm about, maybe 12 years old. And he came to the home, and we saw his vehicle racing to the house. My mother did not wait. My mother challenged her fear and went to challenge him that wanted to do harm. My mother. And she told me, Ishmael, come with me. Rasul, I think, went to go and get help. But in the meantime, we weren't hiding in a room. And when I say he came to harm, I'm telling you the absolute truth. But my mother went down to the gate of our home. And that man on the other side was speaking words, and he was so angry. And he talked words of harming my mother. And I was, gotta be honest, I was afraid. But my mother was strong. And the man went up on the roof of the vehicle to jump over the wall and the gate to get in to harm my mother. But my mother stood her ground. And as I saw her stand her ground, the fear that I had, because I knew this person wanted to harm my mother. And if he had gotten over that wall, my mother would have been injured. I would have been injured. My brothers and sisters injured or even killed. But as a result of her standing her ground, help from Allah came. And the police arrived at the home and handcuffed him and took him away. I am so blessed to have fearless parents, a father and a mother and a minister of great courage who have never been afraid of the enemy, who have proven that Allah is God. Allah, who came in the person of Master Far Muhammad, that's who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad relied on, depended on, and he was successful in the face of the vehement opposition for 44 years that he was among us. And in these last 44 years of the ministers rebuilding effort and speaking that truth from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the face of the most powerful nation on earth that hates Farrakhan, yet the minister stands strong. How could I not gain courage from my leader, my teacher, my guide, my minister, who stands with courage? When you have a fearless man, and that's why the enemy always, in the times of slavery, any slave that would stand to defy him, he had to make an example of that strong slave so that the rest of the slaves would not rise up against the slave master. That's why they silenced Farrakhan, because Farrakhan is not afraid of the enemy, not afraid of Satan, not afraid of the slave master's children. And Farrakhan's courage takes the fear out of black people. So if you have a man in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that has no fear of the enemy, who does he know? Who is he connected with that he can stand like Jesus stood strong yesterday, like Muhammad, peace be upon him, stood strong yesterday, like David, like Daniel, like Moses, like Abraham? He proves that there is no God but Allah. And when we put our trust in God, whom then shall we be afraid of? So Jesus said, as I close, if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, man, just now look at these odds. The grain of a mustard seed, that seed is so small that it would disappear in your hand. You could say to the mountain, be removed, and it would be so. Or you could say to the sycamore tree, be uprooted and be planted in the depth of the sea. That's all that's required today, is just that amount of faith to say to powerful America, powerful government, we're not taking your vaccine. Do what you have to do. If it pleases Allah, but I shall not be thirsty. I shall not be hungry. I shall not be naked and out of doors, for the Lord hides me under his wings. I am protected. And if it pleases God that I should suffer, so be it, because thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If this is the price that a servant believer in God must pay for the establishment of justice, let it be. Better men and women and faithful believers have gone before me, before you, then why should I not be willing to be tried, since those before me were tried? Faith, beloved brothers and sisters in God, is the prerequisite to overcome adversity. We as Muslims, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. It is a prayer seeking the help of Allah to help us in whatever we are engaged in. Is there anything that we cannot do with the help of God and belief that you have his support? Resist the devil. and the devil will flee from you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for lending us your sacred ear. We pray that what we have said to you today, you have found in our words strength, that you have found in our words comfort, guidance, perspective on the time of trouble that we have entered. Thank you for joining us as we greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Allah, brothers and sisters. Such a powerful and electrifying message from student minister Ishmael Muhammad. If at the end of today's broadcast, if you are able, we want you to go on your social media accounts, share today's message, send all your family and all your friends to NOI.org and allow them to witness this great lecture so that they can be fortified in such a dark hour as this. If you believe that what you heard today is the truth and that it is good for our people, we would love for you to join your Nation of Islam. You can go to NOI.org/join and complete the form, and one of our representatives will reach out to you this week. In Islam and in all of the major world religions, there is a principle called charity or zakat. And in the Holy Quran, chapter 57, verse 18, it says, "For those who give in charity, men and women, and loan to Allah a beautiful loan, it shall be increased manifold, and they shall have a liberal reward." So if there is something that you can give to the cause of freedom, justice, and equality, and to the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, we want you to go to NOI.org/donate and give whatever Allah puts on your heart to give. We also want you to visit us online at store.finalcall.com. There you can find a host of materials, from books by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, books by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and so much more. Visit us today at store.finalcall.com. If you have yet to secure your subscription to the greatest newspaper on earth, the Final Call News, we want you to first of all get you a hard copy from your brothers and your sisters that you see out in the street or at work. But if you would like a digital version of this powerful newspaper, you can go to finalcalldigital.com and get your subscription today. And each and every week, this powerful periodical of truth will be sent to your cell phone or your tablet. We also want you to visit us at finalcall.com. At the top of the page, you'll see a button that says Final Call Radio. You can click that button 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get powerful excerpts of lectures by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our Friday weekly Jumu'ah prayer service, or our Sunday mosque meeting as well. Again, visit us all throughout the week, 24 hours a day, at Final Call Radio. If you would like to get the Nation of Islam Supreme Bean Pie, this bean pie goes to independent education. All of the proceeds, rather, goes to independent education. You can get this delicious treat sent directly to your doorstep. Go to thesupremebeanpie.com and order yours today. And last but not least, we want you to come right back here on Wednesday and Friday of each and every week at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. On Wednesdays, we go over the time and what must be done. And on Fridays, we go over self-improvement, the basis for community development. With that being said, brothers and sisters, let us end today's broadcast with a word of prayer. Please stand wherever you are. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. O Allah, guide us on the right path, the path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy favors, and not the path of those whom thy wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray after they have heard thy teaching. Amin. Assalamu alaikum.
Greetings, dear listeners. We have been blessed by Almighty God Allah over the 90 years of our work in the Nation of Islam and lifting our people up from the miserable condition in which we find ourselves. We ask your support of our effort, and we hope that you will be generous and make a contribution to the work of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan by clicking the button below or go to noi.org/donate. We thank you in advance for your support. May Allah God continue to bless you and your families. Assalamu alaikum.
Now you can get the same uncompromising truth you've come to expect from the Final Call newspaper on all your connected devices. Subscribe to the Final Call Digital Edition today. Go to subscribe.finalcalldigital.com.